This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our work through the Psalter, getting close to the end, reflecting on Psalms 146 through 149. Whose hope is the Lord? A song of praise is fitting. He declares his word to Jacob. He commanded it, and they were created, and two-edged swords in their hands. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
My lips, and my heart will give you praise. Glory be to the Father. sanctified us in the true faith. Sanctified us in the true faith. Thank you. A reading from Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a proof to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The text for our meditation is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 8. Especially these words of the centurion, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." My brothers and sisters in Christ, St. Matthew places these two miracles immediately after our Lord finishes preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The crowds had heard Jesus teach as one having authority. Now they would see the authority displayed. His words were not merely instruction about God. They were the words of the incarnate Son of God, accomplishing what they declared. It is no accident that Matthew records these two encounters together. Both the leper and the centurion confess what many in Israel had failed to see. Jesus is the one who can cleanse the unclean, and whose word has authority over disease, distance, and death itself. The two men could hardly be more different. One is a leper, ceremonially unclean, and isolated from family, synagogue, and from society. The other is a Roman centurion, a Gentile officer serving the occupying army. One is an outcast because of disease, and the other because of nationality. Yet both come to Christ in exactly the same way. Neither negotiates with him, neither appeals to personal merit, neither claims to deserve his attention, the two simply cast themselves upon the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The leper says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." The centurion says, "Lord, I am not worthy. Only say the word." In those simple confessions, we see what faith truly is. Faith is never trusting or never confidence in oneself. Faith is confidence in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the lesson that must never be lost within the walls of a seminary. It is possible to spend years immersed in theology and yet slowly lose the simplicity of faith. You may become proficient in Greek and Hebrew. You may know the confessions by heart. You may carefully distinguish between the law and the gospel. You can defend the doctrine of justification and preach sermons that are exegetically correct, sound, and confessionally faithful. All of these are good gifts from God and indispensable for the church ministry. Yet the sinful heart can turn even God's gifts into occasions of pride. If we are not boasting in wealth, we boast in knowledge. If not in success, then in our orthodoxy. If not in influence, then in our theology. None of these things, my brothers and sisters, is sinful in itself. They become dangerous when they replace humble confidence in Christ alone. The centurion strips away every illusion with one sentence. He said, "Lord, I am not worthy." Those words are not merely the confession of a Roman officer. They are the daily confession of every one of us, every Christian, and especially for every pastor like us. Luther's final written words remain true for us. We are beggars. That is true. The greatest theologian of the Reformation died not boasting in his learning, but confessing his need for mercy. Such a confession is not despair, it is faith. Because faith never rests in itself. Faith rests entirely in the Lord Jesus and in his promises. It is significant that Jesus marvels not at the centurion's military accomplishments or personal humility, but at his faith. The centurion understands authority because he lives under authority. When he speaks, his soldiers obey. Therefore, he recognizes that Christ's authority is infinitely greater. Jesus need not enter his house. He need only speak. His word is sufficient. That confidence is at the heart of the pastoral office. Every generation of pastors is tempted to believe that the church finally depends upon the preacher's personality, eloquence, administrative skill, or creativity. Seminary life can subtly reinforce that temptation. We work diligently to sharpen our minds and abilities, and rightly so. Yet none of those things creates faith. In our Lutheran confession, the Augsburg Confession, we are reminded that through the gospel and the sacraments, the Holy Spirit works and creates faith wherever and wherever it pleases God. The pastor is not called to manufacture results, but to speak Christ's word faithfully. The church has never been sustained by brilliant ministers. The church has always lived from the living voice of her Lord. The truth is both humbling and comforting. It humbles us because the ministry is never our possession. The church belongs to Christ, not to us. The sermon is not our message, but His. The sacraments of baptism, the Lord's Supper, are not our gifts, but His gifts entrusted to His church. Yet this same truth comforts us, because the success of the ministry does not finally rest upon our abilities. There will be sermons that seem to bear little fruit, catechism classes that appear unproductive, hospital visits that end in death rather than healing. In every such moment, the centurion's confession becomes the pastor's and Christian's prayer, "Lord, only say the word." Christ has never promised that every minister will be successful according to the world's standards. He has promised that His word will accomplish the purpose for which He sends it. The healing of the leper also points us beyond itself. Jesus stretches out His hand and touches the untouchable. According to the ceremonial law, uncleanness spread from the leper to the one who touched him. Yet when Jesus touches the leper, the opposite occurs. Holiness overcomes uncleanness. Purity triumphs over our corruption. And life overcomes death. This is not merely a miracle of compassion. It is a sign of the incarnation and ultimately of the cross. The Holy One willingly takes upon Himself our uncleanness. The sinless one becomes sin for us. Every miracle recorded in the gospel points toward Calvary, where Christ bears the uncleanness of the entire world and where His blood cleanses sinners from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we never preach the miracles apart from the salvation work of Christ, apart from the atonement, from their meaning, for their meaning is found in Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins, including your sins and mine. The same Christ continues to serve His church today through the means of grace. When the absolution is spoken, Christ Himself is speaking. When water is joined to His word in holy baptism, Christ Himself is washing sinners clean. When His words of institution are spoken over the bread and wine, Christ Himself gives His true body and true blood for the forgiveness of our sins. These are not merely doctrines to be mastered in the classroom. They are gifts by which Christ continually sustains His church and sustains us. Before we stand at the altar, we kneel there. Before we preach forgiveness, we receive it. Before we feed Christ's flock, we are fed by the Good Shepherd Himself. Perhaps then the centurion's prayer should become the daily prayer of every one of us, students, professors, pastors, and all who gather around Christ's gifts. Lord, only say the word. Say the word that forgives sins. Say the word that creates faith. Say the word that strengthens weary servants. Say the word that raises the dead. For that theology studied within the seminary is never an end in itself. Every lecture, every language class, every exegetical exercise, every theological discussion ultimately serves the purpose that the saving word of Christ may be proclaimed clearly, His sacraments administered faithfully, and his people comforted with the certainty of his gospel. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ has not called us because we are worthy. He has called us because he is gracious. He has touched the leper. He who touched the leper has touched you and me in holy baptism. He who healed the centurion's servant has spoken his absolution into our ears. He who offered his body and blood upon the cross now places the same body and blood in the mouths for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whether you remain students, teach within the seminary, or serve Christ Church for many years, never graduate from the centurion's confession, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word." For Christ Jesus still speaks, and his word still accomplishes exactly what he promises. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Remember incoming SMP student Richard Lee and his family as he undergoes treatment for cancer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, in your ministry you healed many with frail and diseased bodies. Be present with your servant Richard as he undergoes treatment. Bless him with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the doctors and the medical team with alertness and skill, so that, if it be your will, this treatment may help your servant to a speedy restoration of health and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, your Holy Spirit gives to one the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, and to another the word of faith. We praise you for the gifts of grace imparted to your servant, Johann Gerhard, and we pray that by his teaching, we may be led to a fuller knowledge of the truth, which we have seen in your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.